Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Raw in its entirety at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always log into our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Raw had a lot to atone for, really. I mean, the Royal Rumble was great, but how do you top it now? You know, you're going into Raw. There's a lot of unanswered questions. There was a lot of, will Ronda Rousey show up? What will happen with the championship? There was a lot that the WWE had to address. And they started out with Stephanie McMahon coming out to address the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, I understand this. It's a historic moment, and she wanted to, let's not call it what it isn't. She wanted to milk it for all it was worth. So she comes out and says what a historic moment it was, what a great match it was, all the legends and all the blah, 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 blah. And what it leads to basically is, here is your very first winner, Asuka. Asuka comes out to what I would describe as respectful applause. The roof did not blow off the building for a girl who just supposedly made history, a woman who just made history. And I thought to myself at the time, I wonder what this reaction would have been had that have been Sasha or Bailey or Becky Lynch or any one of any other amount of girls. What polite applause. Asuka grabs the microphone, and right away, I say, uh-oh. We know what happened when Shinsuke grabbed the old microphone. So I'm saying to myself, okay, where's this going to go? Maybe she's just going to say who she wants to face at WrestleMania, which would be good because that's what everybody wanted to know. But before she can get to that point, Stephanie says, I'm sure you'd like to reveal who you want to wrestle at WrestleMania. However, you may want to hold off on that, because Alexa Bliss may not even be the champion, since she is going to be defending her belt in the world's first women's Elimination Chamber match. That did not get a gigantic pop that I think they'd hoped for. And here's why. There's only so much of this historic making. Let's get on with proving that the girls are as good or equal to the men and giving them storylines that people really want to follow and really can sink their teeth into so that it matters. That's all that matters at this point now. You know, every match can't be, this is historic here, historic again, it's going to be historic. This is another historic match, please. As I said on yesterday's show, there were federations running for years that were nothing but women's federations, and I'm not talking about WOW or GLOW or any of these, you know, TNA-type federations that wrestle in bars and just have girls scantily clad rolling around on a mat. I'm talking about actual, real women's wrestling federations. So the glass ceiling crapola, put it aside already, okay? You've milked it. Asuka then grabs the microphone and endears herself to the American public by rambling in Japanese for 2 minutes. My head was going to explode because I'm saying to myself, does this not underline my point? I'm not saying she's not a deserving winner. I'm not saying she's not a good athlete. I'm saying that if you, the WWE, wanted a representative of all the women who came before you, it would probably be a good idea if the woman could speak the language. So the crowd got a little antsy with that, and then she managed to say, I'm going to WrestleMania, and I will be the champion, and nobody's ready for Asuka, and all those prepared things that she normally says, and out comes Sasha Banks. And Sasha Banks looks about as happy to be there as Booker T was to find out he's no longer on commentary. She comes out, just her whole demeanor, I'm saying she's going to challenge Asuka and she's going to get her ass kicked, because you could tell by her body language. She's like, here I am out here to do my job and I don't want to. So she gets in there and she says, yeah, I'm ready for Asuka. I want you tonight. Stephanie McMahon doesn't even wait till the words are out of her mouth and says, we got a match tonight. I'm rating this a very low because honestly, it seemed very forced. It didn't come across as real. I don't think it did Asuka any favors. I don't think it did Sasha Banks any favors. I don't think it did Stephanie McMahon any favors or this whole women's revolution thing any favors. You know, I was really hoping, and giving the WWE a little credit, I was really, really hoping that it would be interrupted by Paige and Absolution. And Paige could have rightfully said, where was I? Where was I during this whole thing? Oh, I wasn't invited. That's right. No, I couldn't be in the Rumble, but hey, I could have done something else, but no, that's okay. Forget about me, right? And then they could have jumped Asuka. Not Paige, but the other two. Come up with something, please. Just having Sasha come out there and say, I'm ready for Asuka. And Asuka, by the way, her facial expressions she has two. Constipated and smiling like a crazed jack-o'-lantern. That's it. That's it. It's really not good. I'm sorry. Listen, I get a lot of mail saying, Asuka's great. I don't know what your problem is. No, she's not. Maybe in Japan she is, where all of her little innuendos and body language and her style and everything else is being translated very well to the audience. But that's not happening here. And you can say whatever you want in NXT. The only reason she was popular in NXT is because she caught Goldberg disease, which is called We Will Not Let Her Lose. And you could take any person you wanted and make them invincible, and the fans would get behind them and say, this is a badass, they never lose. But it's all contrived. You could have made James Ellsworth undefeated. I mean, whatever you want to do, you can do. She's not undefeated because she's so much better than anybody else. She's undefeated because that's what the script says. So the opening segment, Mike, I really didn't like. I thought it underlined my point that this really wasn't about the women's revolution. It was just about, the Ronda Rousey thing. And, of course, you heard the crowd chanting Ronda Rousey during the whole thing.
Yeah, and look, we'll get to the match in and of itself later, but it didn't do either, none of the three a favor. And look, I mean, we've said before, whatever charisma, they claim she has, Asuka has charisma. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I mean, I've said it before. Kairi Sane has more charisma, you know, and that's a fact.
She looks like the bad guy in one of those Japanese exploitation films where there's an evil woman who beats and tortures people until somebody shoots her in the head. That's what it is. She looks like a villain from one of those old Japanese exploitation films, and her wrestling is okay, but fortunately, the American style, she's not getting it. She's just not getting it. She's not able to tell a really good story with any of the American workers. She's just not. I don't know, Sabretooth. The segment left me kind of cold, and I was getting worried about Monday Night Raw from that point.
Yeah, it left me cold too, man. And hey, man, you were too nice with her, man. She's not deserved to win that Royal Rumble, first of all. No one else should have won it. Like you said, imagine the pop that would have happened if Bayley had came out last night as the winner of that Royal Rumble. That place would have went nuts.
Yep.
I mean,
and why? Because it would have meant something.
Right. And also, like you said, and her speaking Japanese and all that, that was to appeal to that Japanese crowd that they're trying to get. That's all, man. That's what that was, man. That's what. I mean, and they act like that you can't see. I mean, and they act like we can't see through that. I mean, she comes out with the, you know, and she had to bring up Ronda Rousey. I mean, even though she just come up there and point, which I don't get. I mean, like, why bring her out if she's not going to be there the next night? What, she came in and, like, and what they flew back out to what she's making that movie?
Right.
I mean,
I do have a nice Ronda Rousey story I'll pass on, only because I was kind of hard on Ronda Rousey yesterday. It's not her fault. I mean, she did what she was told. I think she was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. I think she stole the thunder away from the Battle Royal. And I think she looked kind of silly, just pointing at a sign. But here's a nice Ronda Rousey story. A lot of people said, Jesus, Ronda Rousey came out with a jacket that would fit her and two other girls in it. What's the deal with Ronda Rousey? Well, apparently, that jacket belonged to Rowdy Roddy Piper and Piper's son before she entered. Because Piper was her favorite wrestler. So she actually came out wearing Roddy Piper's jacket, which is pretty cool, Todd.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That when Ronda Rousey came out with Piper's jacket, I was like, I'm thinking to myself, that coat looks familiar at first. Like, maybe that could be, that probably was Roddy Piper's jacket. And I think about it for a second, I was like, it is Piper's old jacket.
That's what
it was,
Roddy Piper's jacket. So that's kind of cool. But again, you know, it didn't stop this from being a disaster. So Sabretooth is right. She spoke in Japanese because they wanted this Japanese crowd engaged. And, oh, okay, one of ours won. And you know, I just – here's the deal. Before people – and I had two people write to me and say, what are you, you know, what are you, prejudiced toward Japanese wrestlers? Of course I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. If there was a historic moment – in Japanese women's wrestling, and for the very first time, they were going to hold some prestigious tournament that had never been held by anybody else except men. There's no way in hell Bayley's winning if she's in it, okay? One of their own is going to win it. And the reason is because they want that to say an American girl won. It's almost like saying we're holding our own Olympics, but we're going to book ourselves to lose. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I know a lot of people said, well, you can't have Asuka lose because then her win streak is over. That's not true. Getting thrown out of a Royal Rumble has nothing to do with her win streak. Her win streak is a solo streak. Would it not have been great? Let's just dream for a moment. Bayley wins. She has that touching moment. Ronda Rousey comes out. Points to the WrestleMania sign. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. So Monday Night Raw hits, and Bayley comes out and expresses herself as best she can that this was her dream. She finally got to live her dream, and instead of Sasha Banks coming out, Asuka comes out. And confronts her. And they have that same match that Sasha Banks had with Asuka. And Asuka wins in the same way, let's say. Still means a lot more. Because then you could say, well, Asuka lost the Battle Royal, but she looked like she could take care of Bayley, and now Bayley is kind of on a downer, and she kind of cost Bayley her happy moment. I just won the Women's Royal Rumble. I'm happy as I can be. I lost. The reason they didn't do it, they don't want Asuka to be a heel. That's why they didn't do it. But that's a much more powerful moment than anything they gave us in the opening. Now, what they did give us is we are going to have qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber. And they said three will happen. Elias will take on Woken and Matt Hardy, who is in it because why? He lost to Bray Wyatt on the 25th anniversary show? Okay. I guess. Obviously, Braun Strowman will take on Kane. And John Cena will take on Finn Balor. To which I said, I could probably shut Monday Night Raw off right now if I really wanted to, because I already know Elias is winning. I already know Braun Strowman is winning, and I know for damn sure John Cena is not losing to Finn Balor. But I didn't shut it off, and we got Braun Strowman versus Kane. And this was a very short last man standing match, but I will say this. At least it made an impact. One more time, Braun Strowman, as Sabretooth rightfully pointed out on our Facebook page, one more time, Braun Strowman attempts, you know, to murder somebody. But at least it made an impact. And I don't know if I want to give this away. I know an awful lot of people are saying, oh, you know, it's going to be John Cena and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Folks, put the pieces together. Braun Strowman's an out-of-control monster, and absolutely nobody can stop, and the last person he may have crippled or hurt is Kane. Think about it. Anyway, I mean, the match was okay, Mike. It wasn't anything special. It was very short, but at least it was kind of impactful.
Yeah, it was impactful, and look, you could absolutely buy him tipping. I don't know how much that set that they usually use for the commentators, how much it actually weighs, but it can't be, you know, thousands of pounds. It's probably hundreds of pounds. I can buy him lifting that thing up and turning him over. Now, you know, last man standing, the guy didn't get up. Well, yeah, he can't get up. He can't push that thing off of him if he's face down, and that's exactly what Kane was. Kane was face down on the thing, on cement when he
right.
turned it over on him, so he couldn't actually get up. That's why they had to have people come and try to get the thing off of him. Now, granted, they later on come back and say, well, Kane crawled out of the hospital only to disappear someplace. Well, you tell me what's going to happen. He's going to appear someplace and try to get his revenge on him, you know? That's what's going to happen.
No question about it. There's no question about that. But Sabretooth, I think we both know where this is going.
Yeah, man, because the moment he did that, and yesterday when I asked you what's next for Braun Strowman, you know, after, you know,
yeah.
after Brock Lesnar and the Elimination Chamber, the moment he did that to Kane, I'm like, oh God, they're setting up for the Undertaker. I mean, what else is left? I mean, this guy. I mean, like you said, you got this unstoppable monster. I mean, who else other than Brock Lesnar can fight him? But Brock's not scared. But Brock's not fighting him down the line. So who else besides that? Who else can fight Braun Strowman?
Right, and I know a lot of people said, no, that's going to be Cena's, you know, Cena wants the Undertaker, but you could put Cena in there with a bunch of people and it's still going to be okay. There's nobody else to put Braun Strowman in there with, folks. Who are you going to put him in there with? Think long and hard about it now. Braun Strowman will fight at WrestleMania. Will fight who? Finn Balor? Samoa Joe won't be back? Who the hell is he going to fight? The only person you could possibly ever work a program out with in this length of time would be Bray Wyatt, and you haven't kept him strong enough to do that. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that Braun Strowman will be fighting The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think that's where this is going. I would imagine Braun Strowman will do something more horrid to Kane. And let's not forget that The Undertaker was the single only person that Braun Strowman backed away from last year. When Braun Strowman was a heel, and he was invincible, and The Undertaker's music hit, Strowman squared up to him for a second and then said goodbye and walked away. So right then and there, that's telling you they set the table just in case. And I think this is what we're going to have. And again, this is a match that The Undertaker could probably handle well. It's going to be slow-paced. There won't be a lot of high-flying or dangerous moves. It's going to be a slugfest. So that's something The Undertaker can handle. So that's probably where that's going. Let's run through some of the other things quickly. You know, we got the revival in Slater and Rhino. That was fine. But let's just stick with the main matches. Obviously, we got a pretty good match. I should say this, and then we won't talk that much about it. I should say that Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews probably put on their very best performance. against the bar. That was a really good match. And Titus and Apollo Crews will probably be used in a much bigger way soon. They really actually do deserve it. They're a good team. Okay, now having said that, first let's get this out of the way. I was so happy Booker T wasn't there until about halfway through the show, and then I said, I don't believe what I'm about to say, but I think I miss Booker T. Coachman was awful. He was awful. He acted like he had never watched wrestling before in his life until last night. Now, I don't know whether, you know, after he left, he just totally did not watch wrestling. I don't know what the hell happened. What I do know is there was no chemistry there, none, zero. It was abysmal. Just horrible. And at one point, Coach actually gets mad and says, hey, thanks for asking me questions. I'm just sitting here. To Cole, who's not asking anything of Coachman because, quite frankly, Coachman's saying ridiculous things. He's stepping on the line. Somebody's down for a pin, and they're going one. And by the way, what do you think would happen? Well, they're counting a three count, Coach. At one point, Michael Cole has to say, look, can we talk about the match? Not good. I don't know why you just don't bring Jerry Lawler back. For God's sake. But no. Instead, we're going to get Coachman, who I guess is going to take, you know, a month to get up to snuff on what's going on in the WWE. He literally, this is the first time I've seen Braun Strowman. What are you? What? Oh, God, it was terrible. It was just terrible. Actually, missed Booker T. I'm like, at least Booker T would have said something crazy when he was smashing the tables. You know? I don't know. Didn't like it. What do you think about Coachman, Sabretooth? I thought he was terrible.
I agree, man. I don't know what it is about these commentators, man. But, I mean, like, but as a fan, commentating should flow evenly with a match. The commentating shouldn't take you out of the match and make you say, what the fuck did he just say? He shouldn't do that.
Right.
It should flow. And also, they should have chemistry. Like you said, I mean, they should do what they should do and bring back Jerry Lawler. Because him and Michael Cole, at least they have chemistry. You know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, and they flow, it's like their commentary, it flows with the match. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't take away from the
match.
I
know exactly what you're saying. Because when Jerry Lawler did some commentary for the Royal Rumble, I said, man, I miss this. Just stupid things he would come up with. Sometimes Jerry Lawler says nothing. He just goes, ah! And it makes an impact because it's kind of like what you were thinking. Like, okay, that kind of is my reaction too. Is, oh, shit, you know. You just can't ramble, you know, just to ramble. It doesn't work for commentary. The commentary has to add to the match, not distract from it. Mauro Ranallo over in the NXT does a great job with his co-host, whose name escapes me right now, Percy, whatever his name is. They called that Gargano-Almas match so well, they added to the excitement of the match. On a regular basis, even with Booker T, and now worse with Coachman, take it away from it. I didn't like Coachman last night. I've liked him in the past, Mike, but I thought he was horrible last night.
You know, you put what's his name with his former two guys on SmackDown, his former guys from NXT on SmackDown, and they flow, they do well. You put Ronaldo and the other two guys and the British guy and the black fellow on, they flow very well. These guys, Jerry Lawler works well with anybody. I mean, he can work well with anybody. And frankly, they really should either put all three of the guys on Raw and on SmackDown, or bring back Jerry Lawler. Frankly,
I mean, Byron,
you know?
Saxton works well with Corey Graves, but like almost nobody else, Todd, works well with Corey Graves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. By the looks of it, when Jonathan Coachman came back last night, he's like, he probably forgot how to do a commentary of a pro wrestling of WWE calling
like
him Matt.
Sounds like, you know, sounds like he's too used to you know, ESPN. Anyway, Elias beats Woken Matt Hardy, which is no surprise, except, of course, that Bray Wyatt's music hits. And then, because, of course, you got to build back up Bray Wyatt, he just appears on the Titantron where he laughs for another minute and a half. I've never heard of a feud based on two guys who just laugh at each other. I don't know what the hell they are trying to accomplish here other than to absolutely kill Bray Wyatt. Just bury him and put the headstone on and walk the frig away, because I'm telling you right now, it's not working. I don't know what you got in mind. If you got in mind that Bray Wyatt ultimately wins, then why aren't you having Bray Wyatt say, I'm going to reveal you as a phony, you're not woken, you're this, you're that, you're portraying yourself as this and that. So when it comes to pass, people say, hey, he called it like it was. If you got in mind that Bray Wyatt's going to lose, then why don't you have Matt Hardy saying the same thing? You're a false prophet, you're not blah, 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 you know. So when it happens, people say, well, he was right. All they do is laugh at each other. Am I watching professional wrestling, Sabretooth or Beavis and Butthead?
I don't know, man, but this is like one of those scenarios why I wish I was writing this feud, because if they can easily make this work, they put their minds to it. To me, you got like two opposite sides of the same coin. You got Bray Wyatt, who is this out of control cult leader or whatever, and then you have broken woken Matt Hardy, who's this mad genius. The stuff they should be doing should be taking place, I mean, in like promos out of the ring. They did this stuff so much better in TNA. At least like he had like a compound, he was doing crazy stuff. I mean, they have not even really put nothing invested into this character. And it shows that they really didn't want to do it to begin with if they're not investing in this character.
No, you're right. Listen, I hated the stuff in TNA, but at least they were trying. At least they said, well, we're going all the way with it. It's awful, but we're going all the way with it. WWE is just like, no, we're not even it's just terrible. Mike, they are absolutely destroying the Bray Wyatt character.
They really are. And here's another thing to think about the woken, broken Matt Hardy deal. It didn't start out that way. It started out with Matt Hardy, the Matt Hardy brand, and what he did with his brother, taking over his brother's stuff and doing that stuff. And then it just degenerated from there. He became the broken Matt Hardy. And that's not the way they're doing it. They're starting him off as this right away, you know, and it's just not working for me.
And if I hear one more time these announcers say, Matt Hardy has reached the end of his chain and he became woken. Matt Hardy has taken all he can take and he's become woken. And that's done what for him? He lost to Bray Wyatt last week. He lost to Elias this week. Yeah, he's doing great. It's not working. It's just not working. It's not going to help Bray Wyatt to win, by the way, either, even if he does. And I don't even think he will. Ultimately, I don't think he will. What I'm hoping they don't do, because God knows I don't want this stretched out anymore, is I hope they don't stretch this out and then Bray Wyatt loses, but then he comes back with maybe a couple of people, and then, of course, Matt Hardy gets his entourage. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this anymore. Anyway, let's get to Sasha Banks and Asuka. Really good match. Really good match. A couple of points in that match, I really thought, wow, you know, Sasha's hurt, especially when she took that spill outside the ring. Immediately, the referee went over and asked her if she was all right. But aside from the fact that it was a really, really good match, my problem with this match is, if you let Asuka steamroll through the entire women's division like, oh, I'm much better than anybody who's here. They're no match for me in the long run. Then who are you saving her for, Ronda Rousey? Because if you are, then Ronda Rousey wins and the whole entire women's division becomes an outsider who never did anything for the WWE's women's division until recently, tears through the ones who did, and then an outsider who did absolutely zero for the women's revolution coming up, is the only one who can beat her. So the message sent is, we have a bunch of loser women here in our revolution. And we had to get an outsider who's an MMA fighter to take care of her because none of these girls can do it. How's that women's revolution, Sabretooth?
It really isn't, and I agree with you. That was a hell of a match. I loved the match. I loved Sasha's performance in it. But the bitter pill is, as good as she was, we all knew that she wasn't going to win. That rubbed me the wrong way so damn bad that it had to. Like I said, if Bayley had won instead of Oscar, and they'd have had that match, then maybe it wouldn't have been as bad, you know, having that good match and having Sasha lose. But the fact that she won the Royal Rumble and then they're going to get this hell of a match from Sasha, knowing that in the end she's not going to win. You know what I'm saying? It was just a bitter pill for me to swallow.
And I'll tell you something else. Part of me said maybe they'll let Sasha win by count out, or maybe there'll be a double DQ or something. No, that was hope against hope. But here's what I didn't like. At the end of the match, I said, well, at least Asuka is selling it. She's laying there like she was hurt. But then she's in the corner holding her shoulder. Periodically, she'll go, ow, my shoulder. And then she'll smile. I beat her. I'm great. She's garbage. And I'm saying to myself, can somebody please put a bug in this girl's ear that, A, you're supposed to be a good guy. B, you're supposed to be in there with the top of the line. Okay, the top of the line. You should have laid there just as long as Sasha. You should have walked out of there shaking your head like, whoa, I'm lucky to get out of here. That was not easy. No. She gives you a big goofy grin like, yeah, that was the idiot. Thought you could beat me. This is undermining the women's division. This is not helping the women's division. It's undermining it. And the same people who wrote to me and said, hey, Marcus, you know, when Brock Lesnar tears through the whole goddamn roster like garbage when he's only there once every 3 months, it undermines the men's division. Okay, well, guess what? Asuka can be there every week. She's still undermining the women's division because it's making it look like all of the women here are garbage. None of them can come close to touching a Japanese wrestler. Until, of course, Ronda Rousey. So here's the way I got it figured, and I bet you it happens. Asuka will become the champion at WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey will challenge her probably at SummerSlam. The women's revolution. You've left all the women behind that did anything. It's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. I was hoping it would at least go to a draw. But no. But anyway, Mike, it was a good match. It bothers me. The whole thing bothers me, like Sabretooth said.
Yeah, it bothers me too. But when they did what they did with her and her neck, you know, and had her do the thing, they almost did the same spot with Asuka a little bit later on in the match where she landed on her back or whatever on the apron, you know. Those were some pretty good spots in the match that I enjoyed. And At least Asuka stole that spot. And look, how long? I know it was a couple of times during the match, but how long did she hold that the bank statement on Asuka? And Asuka, you better sell that. If she's holding that thing for 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes and a shot on you, you better sell that. You know,
yeah,
you know,
she didn't
even
sell it much. And I'll tell you what else she didn't do, Mike. When Asuka thinks she has her pinned and she goes down, it's 1, 2, oh, no, she kicked out. Asuka, you know, you get the close-up of Asuka and she's laughing, ha, 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 doubt. Can we see her kind of be like, what? How the hell did she kick out of that? You know, can we see Asuka at one point in time at least say, wait a minute, I didn't expect this, you know? Can we see her give a little credit to the women's division, Sabretooth?
I guess I don't know what her deal is, man. I mean, they want her to be a face, but she's doing this heel stuff. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's, like I said,
she wouldn't even sell Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey comes out, and all the other girls are like, oh, shit, Ronda Rousey. And she's just like, oh, big deal. I'm telling you right now, Asuka don't get it. I don't know whether it's a language translation problem or I don't know what the hell's going on. Just don't get it. But overall, Todd, it was a really good match. I think it was one of Sasha's best.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with the Sasha Banks and Asuka match. Well, like you said, Asuka should have like sold the Banks statement finisher a little more than
she should have been probably. Screaming in pain. I mean, and she should have rolled out of the ring afterwards and took a time out and been like, "Oh my God, no!" You know, it's like, "Oh, I can hold. I'm much better than any of these other girls." So while Charlotte Flair had to tap out to it, Asuka doesn't because, of course, Asuka is what. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the Miz match because, once again, let's give credit where credit is due. You cannot put on a great match without both people doing well. And the Miz and Roman Reigns work very well together. And you know what? I'm getting very tired of saying the Miz and fill in the blanks works well together. So now I'm beginning to believe it's the Miz. He just works well with everybody, or 90% of people. Because he worked great with Dolph Ziggler, and he worked great with Dean Ambrose, and he was working great with Roman Reigns. And I'm saying to myself, this guy's putting on great matches. Not good matches, great matches. Story's there. The timing's there. He sells everything he has to sell about him. The Miz is running, is cranking on all cylinders, and everyone knows it. The fans know it. The announcers know it. Backstage knows it. The other wrestlers know it. The Miz is cranking on all cylinders. And two victories back-to-back over Roman Reigns, the guy who's going to WrestleMania and becoming the champion. That is not accidental, folks. They're finally waking up to the Miz, I think, Sabretooth, and I'm expecting big things from him this year.
Right. And what's good about those two victories is that he won being the Miz. I mean, first time he used the turnbuckle. Second time he grabbed, he rolled him up and he grabbed his tight, you know, his pants or whatever. I mean, he's winning the way the Miz should win. It's not like he's just overpowering Roman Reigns. I mean, like he's winning the good old heel way.
Exactly. He is taking into consideration what is it that I have to sell about Roman Reigns. He's way more powerful than me, and he's impossible to finish off. And I got to act like I am in there with a lion and run away, if at all possible, take every cheap shot I can, oversell everything he gives me. The Miz just gets it, Mike. He's getting it. And he wrestles perfect matches a lot.
He really does. And look, Roman Reigns didn't do too bad either because, I mean, he really sold the figure four. I mean, when Miz had him in the figure four, it took him a lot to get the Miz up for that powerbomb. He had to put a lot of weight on his underneath because the knee was giving him a bunch of trouble. That's the Miz
yep.
for you. You know, and I'm hoping that whatever he's got, some of it will rub off on the Mr. Rise, and they'll do something with the Mr. Rise.
Look, I hope so too. But you're right, Roman Reigns also. Let's talk about this match in comparison to Asuka and Sasha. At the end of this match, what do we see? We see the Miz holding his belt up. He can't even stand up. Being virtually dragged back to the locker room, happy, exhausted, hurt, squinting, almost in disbelief. I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. Roman Reigns in the ring, kind of just smugly saying, "The son of a bitch outsmarted me again. I know I'm the better man, but the son of a bitch just, he did it again. He ripped me again." So what's he selling? He's selling that the Miz is really cunning and devious, and he just got over on him. He's not selling he beat my ass. He's selling, "God damn, I fell for this shit again." And that's what he has to sell. Now let's go to Asuka, who's lying in the corner saying, "My shoulder hurts." "I won, I won. My shoulder hurts." "I won, I won. Oh, wait, my shoulder hurts." It's day and night, Sabretooth.
Right, and also what the Miz did that was important. Because the thing is, like, it's like he won that match, but he didn't beat Roman Reigns. I mean, like, as soon as he rolled him up and got that match, and won that match, he got the hell out of that ring because Roman Reigns was going to get up and beat his ass if he had him. You know, he still fought the fact that I am scared as hell of this guy. When he gets stuck, he's going to beat my ass, so I'm going to get out of this ring. And, you know, he ran from that ring when he got that victory. And, I mean, that's important, man. I mean, it's like little stuff like that, man.
Little stuff like that. If Asuka had literally been in the corner holding her arm, no smile on her face at all, like, I'd just been through a war. What the hell? I did not expect that out of this girl. Maybe I am in the big leagues now. I would have had more respect for Asuka. But yeah, Todd, the Miz is getting it. I mean, I've enjoyed every Miz match that I've seen in the past a long time.
You're absolutely right there. They had some false finishes in that match with the Miz and Roman Reigns. Like last night with the second turnbuckle, with the Miz got caught trying to take it off.
Right, he's trying to do the same thing again.
Tactics.
See, I love that. I love when he goes back to, well, this worked before, and oh, hell, I got caught this time. Because it's logical, and it makes the fans tie that in and say, oh, yeah, that's right, he did that last time. It's a brilliant way to book this. They just worked really well together. You know, again, I'm saying I'd watch another match with Roman Reigns and The Miz. Just like we were saying months ago, we'd watch another couple of matches with Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. Maybe we got to understand that it's just The Miz now. Yes, his opponents have to be up to the task. But The Miz is working well with everybody. And you know why he's working well with everybody? Because he is taking the time to say, what is it I have to sell about this person? What is it I have to sell about Dolph Ziggler? Not that he's stronger than me, but that he's a better wrestler. He's quicker, he's faster, he's a much better on-the-mat type wrestler. And he can wear me down. And that's what he did. What's he got to sell about Roman Reigns? He's way more powerful than me. I can't hang with him, punch for punch. So I'm going to have to cheat. I'm going to have to take my shortcuts when I can. Now let's flash forward. Finn Balor taking on John Cena. And maybe I have to adjust my TV set. But I really do think that there was a part in this match where I saw 170-pound Finn Balor punch for punch, going one punch, one punch, one punch, one punch with John Cena, who has done that with Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, The Undertaker, and a whole lot of very powerful guys. So what's wrong with that picture? Well, here's what's wrong with that picture. He's not big enough to do it. He's not to say, I'm just going to go punch for punch with John Cena and get the better of him. Wait a minute. Brock Lesnar couldn't do it. Wait a minute. The Undertaker couldn't do it. Wait a minute. Triple H couldn't do it. Finn Balor can do it. Even Corey Graves said, well, I don't know. I don't have any idea how Finn Balor is standing toe-to-toe taking punches with John Cena. I don't know how he's doing it. And I think that was Corey Graves' way of saying, yeah, I don't like this part of the match, Sabretooth.
Right, and not just that. See the part where they had that test of strength? No one in hell could
Finn Balor.
you see that? I'm like, ain't no way in hell. John Cena should be having this much trouble with Finn Balor in a test of strength. No.
I tell you, I was tearing my hair out during that. I said, am I seeing a test of strength between John Cena, who's been booked? I don't know how strong he is, but he picked up the Big Show. Between John Cena and Finn Balor, am I seeing a test of strength that's coming out almost even? And then wonder why I don't like Finn Balor's psychology, Sabretooth?
Right. And also, I have a question. Where was Anderson and Gallows at? If they're with him, where were they at?
Yeah, I guess they took a powder. I don't know what the hell happened. The only thing I can think of is they didn't want to be made to look like the Miztourage, where they're out there trying to distract Cena, because then that would take away from Balor being a face, or I don't know. But I guess the thing with Seth Rollins meant nothing, because we all thought, oh, we're going to see a different side of Finn Balor, and no. I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen, Mike, and I might have even been okay with it. When Elias said, John Cena cost me the Royal Rumble, but that's okay. because he's going to get what's coming to him. I said Elias is going to cost John Cena this match. Finn Balor is going into that elimination chamber because of Elias. Elias is going to come out here and do something to John Cena and say, well, you cost me the Royal Rumble. I cost you the Elimination Chamber. I really thought it was going to happen. And I kept waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And it didn't happen. I really thought that was going to be the finish.
Yeah, I really thought that was going to be the finish, too. And look, if you've seen those tap-out commercials with where you got John Cena working out and he's like squatting like 400 pounds, you know, and that type of stuff, and you got a 170-pound guy trying to test the strength of that type of guy. I mean, he's like you said, Big Show. He's even lifted up on the World's Strongest Man. You know,
it's a case, Mike, of Finn Balor not doing his homework and saying, there's no way I should be able to stand toe-to-toe in a fist fight with you. There's no way I could match in a test of strength. So I'll just, when you go with a test of strength, you put me down like it was like I'm garbage, but then I'll flip back up and flip you or something. Then I would have said, well, all right, that's fine. But to say, no, I'm working my way back up. I'm almost as strong as Cena. Come on, for God's sake. And then he kicks out of of course, Baron Corbin couldn't kick out of one. But Finn Balor, you got to take him to the top rope and give him the AA, or he'll kick out. Hey, ay, 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 ay. I don't know what to say. I mean, that is why I don't like Finn Balor, Todd. His psychology is the same for every match. He does not take into consideration who he's fighting when he does what he does.
You're absolutely right there. Last night, I noticed what Cena kept going out of the ring, taking a breather, going out of the back end, going back out, taking a breather. Like, that looked like a heel type move there. Like,
well, Cena's trying to sell Finn Balor. Cena was trying to sell, Balor is surprising me. He's way better than I thought he was. He's not a big guy, but he's stronger than I thought. He's faster than I thought. He's tougher than I thought. Cena was doing his job, but Sabretooth, Balor was doing the opposite of his job. He wasn't selling Cena at all.
Right. And also, why did they have to make it seem like all of a sudden John Cena is bothered by the crowd booing him or whatever when he's fighting Finn Balor? All of a sudden he's fighting Finn Balor, and all of a sudden the crowd is getting to him? Never has that happened.
I know. My only thought was on that, Sabretooth, and maybe I'm wrong, is that John Cena figured, well, if I kind of sell that I'm off my game, that excuses why I'm doing so poorly against Finn Balor, because I should be able to crush this guy. Maybe that was the thought process.
Still, it just didn't work, man. Because I mean, how long have he been there? And he's never once let the crowd do that to him. But it's Finn Balor, so you know, it just didn't work. I mean,
it doesn't work, and you know, I think Finn Balor is losing favor with some. The crowd loves him for whatever reason, but I think he is losing favor with some people backstage because the announcers said some things that seem very innocuous at first, but if you dissect them, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seemed like they were taking little jabs at Finn Balor. For instance, when Corey Graves says, well, I don't know, I have no idea how Finn Balor can stand toe-to-toe in a brawl with John Cena. I don't know how he's doing it. To me, that meant, okay, this is stupid. This should not be in this match. And then at one point, Coachman said, does Finn Balor ever stop smiling? And I think that was his way of saying, what's the deal with him just smiling through the whole match? You know, it doesn't work. Mike, did you pick up on those things?
Yeah, you're right on that. I mean, you look at Finn Balor, there's no way. I mean, we talk about the Brock Lesnar and how he did in that match. That's exactly what Balor should have done with John Cena. Now, it might not have worked against John Cena because, I mean, we've talked about how Brock Lesnar can change his pigment changes and all that stuff and all that stuff, but that's exactly how you should handle it. A bigger, slower guy versus you who's 170 pounds. Again, it goes back to psychology.
What I would have liked to have seen in this match is John Cena start off and totally be dominated by a much quicker, much more agile Finn Balor, who is all over the ring, hitting him low, not low as in low blow, but, you know, taking out his leg, flipping him around, drop kicking him out of the ring, and Cena getting increasingly frustrated. Whereas you could put the crowd into it, and you could have had the announcers say, Cena's getting frustrated by a much more agile, quicker guy. You know, Cena's never been the quickest guy. He's one of the strongest guys. He's never been the quickest guy, and Finn Balor's speed is annoying Cena, and it's throwing him off his game. And also, this crowd is throwing him off his game because they are really on him. Then we could have seen Cena finally catch Finn Balor. Balor sell the way difference in strength. I can't stay here with John Cena. He'll toss me around like a rag doll. Balor mount some kind of a comeback. Cena finish him off, and you have the same match. When I said to you people, if you see Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor, you will see Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar go toe-to-toe, punch for punch. I had a lot of people write me saying, oh, he wouldn't do that. Oh, my case. If he'd do it with John Cena, he'd do it with Brock Lesnar, and that's why Sabretooth, I think they yanked him from that.
Yeah, and also it didn't help that we've seen in a prior match how it should be done with The Miz and Roman Reigns.
You're right.
I mean, he should have took a note from what The Miz does. I mean, The Miz, like I said, The Miz plays to his strengths. I mean, which is not, you know, even though he's not stronger than Roman Reigns, he uses what he has to win. Not so with Finn Balor. Somehow he has to overcompensate, man. He doesn't use his size. He doesn't use what he has, man. If just like he going to fight you the same way no matter who you are.
Right. He wrestles 175 pounds. The thing about Finn Balor is he's an incredible athlete, but he has very poor ring psychology. Very, very poor. And no one has ever taught him any different, I guess. So he thinks it's right. And I think someone has to get, you know, to him and say, look, you know, in the WWE, that's not the way they do this. You're going to have to oversell your weaknesses, and they'll sell your strengths. That's the way it works here. You know what Brock Lesnar would do to him? Let's go back to the Royal Rumble match. I'm sure you all saw that Braun Strowman gave Brock Lesnar a knee that connected with Brock Lesnar's chin 100%. Brock Lesnar punched Braun Strowman directly in the jaw full force. It almost knocked him out. And you saw Strowman kind of back off and be like, okay, there was the receipt. If you're going to hit me with a knee like that, and you're not going to sell my shit, here's a punch. See how you like that? What do you think that would have happened if that was Finn Balor? So Lesnar's not the guy to mess with that crap of I'll go toe-to-toe with you. I mean, if he won't do it with Braun Strowman, he's not going to do it with Finn Balor.
No doubt. You know, and that's the thing, you know, and you know, the problem is again, this guy just doesn't get ring psychology. I mean, you got smaller guys who are basically in that same area that get the ring psychology. I mean, even some of the guys who are around his size that are in the division in 205 Live get the ring psychology.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. Do you remember Jinder Mahal, before he switched to SmackDown, knocking Finn Balor the F out for real on Raw during their match? Because
yeah,
Finn Balor was doing that same thing, going toe-to-toe with him, and he just let him have it. And Balor went down like a shot and was dazed, and the referee had to kind of separate him for a minute. And they talked about it a little bit and said, you know, Finn Balor was knocked loopy there by that hit. That wasn't a mistake. When has Jinder Mahal done it to anybody else?
That's right. And look, I give you another example. There was a time in the Royal Rumble where I believe it was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns and Shinsuke had him over the. He was on the outside of the ring over the top rope in like an arm bar or triangle. And the guy said, well, why Shinsuke's in danger of being put out of the ring, put out of the match because of the move he's doing to him. Well, my thought on that move is that, yeah, he's in danger, but he would have to let him go. He would have to force him to let him go. And he wasn't going to do that because the danger was also there that he was going to be dragged, that Roman Reigns was going to be dragged out of the ring as well, because Shinsuke Nakamura is not a small man, you know.
Yeah, look, the whole thing with, you know, I don't have that big of a problem with Nakamura. Nakamura sells better now that he's in the WWE. He got it after a little while. He wasn't, but he got it. But the Finn Balor thing. I'm sure you remember that too, Sabretooth, where Jinder Mahal just connected with like an elbow or something, and Finn Balor went down like a shot. And right after that, Jinder Mahal switches to SmackDown, and I think that was a little bit of a receipt of saying, you know, if you don't want to sell me, I'm three times your size. I'm not going to sit here and go toe-to-toe with you, little dude. And I really think Jinder Mahal hasn't done it since. So that's weird, huh?
Right, and what's telling is that was a while ago. So so like you said, no one has told Finn Balor this, or he hasn't caught on yet as to where you can't be doing that with someone who's bigger than you. I mean, any guy who's your size or you know a smaller, yeah, but no, not with these bigger guys, you can't do that. Yeah, I mean,
look
why
what they do with Nia Jax at the Royal Rumble. 8 girls was on her, and then all of a sudden, roar, and all the 8 girls go flying. That's because they're selling her strength. You really think she could have brushed off 8 girls? No. Well, but you got to sell it. But Finn Balor does not do it. And that is why I'm just not a Finn Balor fan, Sabretooth. I think his psychology really hurts wrestling.
It really does, man. Cause like I said, I mean, the red test of strength last night, man. I mean, my jaw dropped. I'm like, is he really holding his own with John Cena in his test of strength?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, you. I was actually laughing. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, this just proves my point beyond a shadow of a doubt. All right, let's get to our ratings, and we'll go to Mike first. What do you give this?
I'll give it a C+. And look, I would love to see a series of matches between Sheamus and Titus.
Me too. You know, Mike, that's so weird that you would say that, because I said the same thing. I said, you know, I'd like to see Sheamus and Titus. Them guys were doing well together. I said the exact same thing last night. That's weird. Sabretooth, what's your rating?
C+. And also I want to point out that somehow I think they've been watching or listening to the show again, because notice how they made the announcement that 205 Live is getting their own general manager. We've been saying that they should be.
Yeah. Now let's see who it is. Maybe it'll be Finn Balor or Asuka. Todd, what do you give it?
I got to go with Mike there.
I'm going to give it a little bit higher. I'm going to give it a B- only because, look, the John Cena thing was ridiculous. I hated the Finn Balor match. I hated some of the Stephanie thing in the beginning. I didn't. But the matches themselves were all really pretty good. The Matt Hardy-Elias thing wasn't great, but it was pretty good. All night long, I was like, well, I'm entertained. There are things I didn't like, but the matches themselves, I think, were solid. So I'll give it a B-. If the booking, I'm going to give like a D-. Anyway, we'll see what happens on SmackDown tonight. And also, we'll see what happens on 205 Live. They're getting a general manager, and some people are saying it just might be Paul Heyman. We'll see what happens.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.